Dangers the Church Faces. This is number three in our series on dangers the church faces. And I just, as I looked up that screen, I see I need to change the color of that wording because it doesn't show up very well up there. Worldliness is a real problem. We have to live in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. We don't live like the world. And so that's a real problem for us because we're surrounded daily by living that is not pleasing to God and not something that we should be doing. And yet we've got that example. Boats don't sink because they're in the water. They sink because water gets in the boat. The problem in the church is not that too many Christians are in the world, but that the world is in too many Christians. And so that's the real problem. And so one of the greatest dangers facing the church today is allowing worldliness to creep into the lives of Christians. And that's something that we need to deal with. And we'll be looking at that today. First of all, we need to understand the world belongs to Satan. The world is under the control of Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." The God of this age, that's Satan. And so the world is under the control of Satan. In John 12:31, we're told now is the judgment of this world, that the ruler of this world will be cast out. And of course, that's referring to Satan, that in the end of time, Satan will be cast into that pit where he will not be allowed to influence people any longer. But right now he is in the world, bound by chains, so to speak, so that as long as we stay out of his territory, we're okay. But when we walk into his area, then we're facing problems. And so we're living in that world, but we can't be part of it. 1 Corinthians 2:12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So that's so important for us to understand and have a great knowledge of the word of God, because we have to be able to recognize the spirit of the world and the spirit from God and to know the difference between those. And if we don't know the scriptures, if we don't know God's word, then it's going to be easy for Satan to trip us up and make us think we're doing the will of God when we're really following him and doing his will. 1 Corinthians 7:31, "Those who use this world is not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away." As that scripture read, this world passes away and everything in it. And so it's not going to last. It's not going to be something that we're going to be pleased about, or God's going to be pleased about, if we follow the ways of this world. And so we need to understand that the worldly ways are under control of Satan, and we must know the word of God to determine whether or not we're doing the will of Satan or the will of God, and whether or not we're following worldliness or spirituality. We are not to be of the world. In John 15:18-19, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." And so the world is opposed to Christianity. And I think we're seeing that more and more in our society today, that Christianity is being laughed at, abused, and accused, and all sorts of things, where in years past that was not quite as bad. But we're seeing more and more the world hating Christianity and criticizing and complaining and blaming Christians for a lot of the problems in the world. Sadly, because there are many false Christians and false religions in the world, false churches in the world that are doing things that are contrary to the word of God, that doesn't help our situation any. And so the world doesn't recognize it, just lumps all us Christians all together And if they see somebody doing something wrong, they claim to be a Christian, and that reflects on all of us. But Jesus makes it clear here that the world is going to hate us because we're telling the world, you're wrong. You need to get your life right with God. And they don't like that. And most people don't like to be told they're wrong. And so we try to do it in the kindest and lovingest way that we can to let them know that we're concerned about them and their eternity. But we are not to be of the world. John 17, 14 through 15. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. There are religious groups that want to separate themselves from the world, and segments of various religious groups have their monasteries and such where they separate themselves from the world so that they're not tainted in any way by the world. But Jesus makes it clear here that it's not his purpose to take us out of the world, but keep the world out of us. And that we need to be in the world because God is not willing that any should perish, and neither should we be. And so we want to help as many people in this world to turn to God as we possibly can. That's our goal in this life, just as it was Jesus in Luke 19:10. He came to seek and save the lost. And he died for us so that we would live for him. That means if we're living for him, we're going to be seeking and saving the lost also. And we have to be in the world to do that. But we need to keep the world out of us again. John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. And so God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. The Israelites fought for earthly kingdoms and rule over those people that they fought against. But the New Testament is different. When Jesus came, all of that changed. And all of a sudden now all of every nation is welcome into the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom. That's the reason we don't fight physically to gain control over people. We fight for control of their mind, to get them to accept the will of God in their minds. And so ours is a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. But we must be in the world, but not of the world. 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. And so we've got this problem that the world to us, we are a spectacle. We're something to be made fun of, ridiculed. And so that happened in the first century. It's happening today. And it will always be that true Christianity is going to be maligned and picked at and blamed and all sorts of things trying to downplay its importance because people do not want the responsibility of living for their Creator, God. 1 Corinthians 4:13, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscourging of all things until now. And so again, Paul points out here that we're ridiculed, we're picked at, we're blamed. All sorts of things are said falsely against us. And the same thing was done with Jesus, of course. They made up all sorts of false claims against him. And the same thing will happen to us. And so we recognize that we are not to be of the world, even though we are in the world. So we are not to conform to the world. We're not to fit the pattern that the world has for us. You remember those puzzles where you had shapes and you had to put them in? I think it was one of our son's most favorite puzzles was this little ball that had different shapes and you had to match the shape to get it to go in there. Well, the world has a pattern, but we're not to fit into that pattern. We just won't go in that wrong slot that the world has for us. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so our body is to be a living sacrifice. Under the old covenant, the sacrifice died. And we are a living sacrifice, but we die to ourselves and live for God. And so that's how we are a living sacrifice. We're living for God now, or should be. And so that's the reasonable thing for us to do. Since Jesus went to the cross for us, we ought to live in this world for him. And we cannot be conformed to the world. We can't fit the pattern that the world has set up. And when you don't fit the pattern that the world has for you, they're going to reject you. And so that's what happens to us as Christians. We don't fit their pattern. We don't act like they want us to act. We don't do the things they want us to do. And so they're going to reject us as a result of that. We are transformed, changed from the worldly type by the renewing of our mind. That's the reason I said earlier that we're in a battle for the minds of men. And so we need to get them to start thinking differently about Christianity and to accept the fact that God truly is the creator of this world and the ruler of the universe, and that they need to get in line with his will. And so it's all a battle for the mind, so that they may recognize the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Sadly, many people, even though they live a life of sin, are in misery, and they don't think that there's an answer for that. They just think that's the way it's got to be. And they look at Christianity and think, well, Christianity's nothing to be desired. And they don't understand Christianity. No better way to live your life than to live the Christian life. To live in a way that you don't have any regrets, you don't have any guilt. And so you can live your life and go to your death with a clear conscience. And yet the world can't do that. They have all sorts of regrets and all sorts of problems in their lives because of sin, because sin creates problems. And so we have to recognize that we are not to conform to the world. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And so he's saying the world is dead to me and I'm dead to the world. The world has no control over me. And we have to develop that same attitude, that the world is not going to control us. We're not going to fit that pattern that the world wants to make for us, that we are not of the world and we are not conforming to the pattern of the world. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. You know, it's difficult sometimes. Remember, first congregation I preached in was, I guess, the same Red River that runs through Texas that we have down here, only up there, you can walk across it. Sometimes it'll be over ankle deep. But we took the teenagers out there to play in the Red River. And we told them, now, it's red up there. I mean, it is red, and the sand and the mud is red. And we said, don't wear anything that, you know, you wouldn't want to get extremely dirty, because, and this one girl wore white pants. And they were red by the time she went home. I don't know what her parents felt about that or whatever, but you couldn't get out in that without getting stained by that. And so we have to figure a way to be in the world and yet be unstained, unspotted from the world. Not allow the world to cling to us, but we need to have a good coating of that stuff that resists stains, and that's the blood of Christ. And so when we're covered by the blood of Christ, it's going to resist the stains of the world. And so to keep oneself unspotted from the world, we're not even to allow spots of the world to be on us, even a little bit. Because if a little bit gets in there, it's like that leaven. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And first thing you know, we're covered up with worldliness, and we don't even realize it. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 11. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, it's by that knowledge of him, the word of God, that we are called, and those things that pertain to life and godliness we find through his word, by which have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, through desire. And that's the way Satan works on us. He puts before us things that we desire. And so that's what we're trying to escape. And so we had to recognize those evil desires that Satan puts before us. And again, we had to know the word of God to know whether that's something God wants for us or not. And the religious world is full of people that are teaching false doctrine, following after Satan by teaching false doctrine, and yet conforming in some way to this world and looking for the pleasures of this world rather than the spiritual nature that God wants us to have. So we are to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, and this is what we should be doing, add to your faith virtue, the desire to do what is right, to virtue knowledge, the knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, to knowledge self-control, to start practicing right instead of wrong, to self-control perseverance, to continue on keeping on doing the will of God no matter what happens in our lives and in the world, to perseverance godliness, God-likeness. That should be our desire, to be like God in our lives. To godliness, brotherly kindness. If we're like God, we're going to care about one another. And we're going to be kind to one another. And to brotherly kindness, love. And love is the bond of perfection that binds it all together and helps us. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're doing those things, then you're going to know about the will of Jesus. You're going to want to study the word of God. You're going to want to do those things that you find there. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. See, the fact that we know that we've been cleansed from our sins should cause us to want to stay clean from those sins and not be like that sow that's washed and then goes back to the mire. Go back to that mud hole. Once we've been cleansed of our sin, we should, you know, you've had a hard day at work, and maybe you've been working outside in the yard, and you're dirty and sweaty and got all that grass all over you and everything, and you're just filthy. And you go in and take a shower, and how good it feels to have that shower and be clean. Well, what this is illustrating is that's the way we should feel about being washed from our old sins. And determine we don't want to get dirty again. We don't want to allow that sin, that worldliness, to get on us anymore. We want to stay clean since we've been cleansed from our sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, this scripture really, in a way, teaches once saved, always saved. If you do these things, it says. If you do these things. But if we stop doing those things, then we can be lost. And so make your call and election sure. Do not stumble. Don't allow yourself to be contaminated by the world and conform to their pattern of the world. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it's happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. And so you used that illustration earlier. And so to come out of that and then go back into it, it's worse than never having known the way, he says. And so, and sometimes we've dealt with people like that. You may have dealt with people like that who have left the faith, and it's very difficult to get them back. And so we have to keep ourselves pure. It's a whole lot easier to keep ourselves clean than it is to clean ourselves up after we got dirty. And so that's the way the world is. It's best to keep the world off of us, not be spotted by the world, than it is to have to try to clean that up afterwards. And when you go back into that, then it's a sad situation for us. We are not to love the world. 2 Timothy 4 and 10 says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. And so these people forsook him because they loved the world. They preferred to be a part of the world rather than a part of God's plan. And 1 John 2, 15 through 17, that was read earlier, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world, you can't love God. And if you love God, you can't love the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Pete Thomas had a good lesson Wednesday night on these three ways that we are tempted. It happened with Adam and Eve, it happened with Jesus, and it happens with us today. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the way Satan is after us. And all of those are of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, the desires of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. James 4 and verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. He compares it to adultery. You're married to Jesus. You're married to God. And you can't go playing around with the world. You can't have that kind of a relationship with the world. And if you do, then you make yourself an enemy of God. Matthew 13, verse 22. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So even if you continue in the church, you're not going to be fruitful because of the loves and cares of this world. It's going to keep you from being fruitful and doing those things that God wants you to be doing in this life. Matthew 16, 26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Many are going to be lost on Judgment Day, thinking that they're saved. Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we've not done these many mighty works in your name. He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And so they've exchanged their soul for the world and worldly things, sinfulness. And they've exchanged their soul, eternity in heaven, for eternity in hell. John 12, 25, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And so we have to realize that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up way beyond the blue. And so that's what we're looking forward to. We're not to love the world. We are to look forward to that home in heaven and keep focused on it. But we are to be an influence in the world. And so that's the reason Jesus didn't take us out of the world, because we're supposed to be influencing people around us. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, I've wondered, how does salt lose its flavor? Well, if it gets sand mixed up in it, and you got half sand and half salt, not going to be very good, is it? And so if we allow the world to get into us, we're going to lose our ability to influence those around us. And so we see that connection of us being an influence. We have to be pure influence. We can't allow worldliness to creep into us, and then we go try to tell people, you need to get out of the world, when they see worldliness in us. So we must be an influence in the world. Philippians 2 and verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, the darker the world, the brighter the light. And so we're to be lights in this dark world and let our light shine so that people can see our good works and glorify God, come to God for that salvation. 1 John 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Satan's in control of the world, but God is in us, and he's much greater than Satan. Sometimes we try to equate Satan with God, but he's not. He's not equal to God. God is much more powerful than Satan is. And so we are of God, and we can overcome because he who is in us is greater than Satan. Titus 2 and verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And so the reason he wants us to live that way is so that we can be a pure influence on those around us, so that they can see that truly the Christian life is the best life. It's the happiest life. Sometimes people don't think of Christians as being happy. And they think, well, you don't do all those things that are fun. And when I was in the military, some of the guys asked me, what do you do for fun, Larry? He said, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't run around. You know, what do you do for fun? In their mind, that was fun. What else is left? And the one that asked me that question had been out at the club the night before and came back drunk, throwing up all over the hall that I had to walk around to get to the room. And I said, you went out and got drunk last night. You may have had a good time, but you don't remember. You don't know what you did last night. I said, the fun that I have, I can live it over and over again. But I remember, and I don't have any guilt over what I did. So we are to be an influence in the world. So what's your relationship to the world today? In the world, or the world in you? Or perhaps a little bit of both. Conforming to the world, being influenced by the world rather than by Christ. Loving the world and wanting to be like the world. Hanging on to those things that you're not willing to give up for Christ. Influencing the world to be more godly. Or are you working for the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan? See, we're going to be doing one of the two. We're going to be working for God or we're working for Satan. Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. So if you're not with Christ, you're against Christ. And so you're either working for God or you're working for Satan. The only two possibilities. Even though you may not think you're actively working for Satan, you are. And so we have to realize the importance of being not part of the world, even though we are in the world. And all of those sins that you've been involved in the past, if you're not a Christian, you can get rid of by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being buried with him in baptism, having all of those past sins washed away. Remember the scripture said they've forgotten that their past sins have been washed away or cleansed? That happens at baptism. And then after baptism, then you start living your life for Christ. And when you slip up and make a mistake, you repent and confess that. And the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. If you as a Christian have failed in your life to live as you know you should, and you allowed the world to creep into you in some ways, and you need to repent of that and confess that so that you can get your life back right with God. So if we can help you in any of those ways at this time, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.